Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text comes from Psalm 145, verse 4. One generation shall commend your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. We pray. Lord Jesus, we pray today that you would refresh and renew our hearts and minds with the joy of not only knowing you, but being able to pass it on to the next generation, that your word might be proclaimed throughout all ages. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, our focus will be on our psalm for today. First thing we know about psalms, we should know rather, is that they're poetry. So they need to be read as their poems. And they use different ways to convey points, major ideas. And they use a thing called parallelism. What parallelism is you can make two lines grouped together, and sometimes they will express one thought and say something opposite, or they might express one thought and then reinforce it and say the same thing. But other times they express a thought, and then the next line, they bring in a new idea. It's called staircase parallelism. So in the first line of our reading, if you want to turn to your psalm, or you can even turn it, it's on the front of your bulletins. The first line, you have one generation praising or commending God's works to the next generation. And in the second line, the same two generations move from praising God's works to declaring or proclaiming his mighty acts. So you see the movement goes from praising or commending to declaring or proclamation. There's a movement from praise to proclamation. Why don't we read it together and think about that? One generation, let's speak that together. One generation shall commend your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. We would say commend. Actually, in the Hebrew, that word does mean praise and lots. So that's why we would say praise for command and declare it, proclaim. Those are pretty similar synonyms. So you can just remember it by just thinking of praise to proclamation. This is really the sequence we encounter when we hear about something that's good, and when we encounter something that's worthy of praise, right? And we all know that the Super Bowl is going to be in Minnesota this year. Can you imagine the amount of praise that would happen if the Vikings actually won? Even in their hometown, the whole state would go ballistic. There would be a lot of praise for the team, which would lead to proclamation. Yes, that's what I mean when Facebook lights up. Everybody needs to post about how their Vikings finally won, how no one believed in them. And people would call each other on the phone and say, hey, guess what? Did you see? There would be a news story about it. The headlines in the paper. They won. Maybe you remember 1991, the World Series of the Minnesota Twins. The pitcher Jack Morris won 10 innings in the seventh game of the World Series to win against the Atlanta Braves, 1-0. 10 innings. Seventh game of the World Series. It doesn't get much better than that. You can imagine how much praise went on through the Twins after that. And here I am 26 years later, talking about it still. You know what? When good things happen like that, you don't just want to keep it to yourself. You want to tell somebody else. You might want to tell your children. You might want to tell your grandparents. Maybe they waited even longer than you did. But you probably understand the idea that in this verse we're not talking about a sports team. We're talking about the mighty acts of God. The mighty works of God. The extraordinary performance that we've read about and hear about and witness is God's performance, God's mighty acts. And it's worthy to praise and proclaim across generations. You can easily think about generations as a family tree, right? You could one tree and then kids is another branch and then their kids is another branch. The thing about the church is we have all these different generations together in one body, praising God and working together to proclaim His name. That's what we do. You can think about the builder generation, probably the oldest generation. Then there's the boomer generation. It's the middle age, right? A little bit older around there. Then there's the Gen X and millennials. That's me. I'm technically Gen X, I believe, but I relate to millennialism more. And then there's the Generation Z. Should be the generation younger than I am. And in church, all of us get together and gather to worship and praise God, don't we? It doesn't matter about how our week has gone. It doesn't matter about the things that we suffer or the things that we're worried about in the future or the changes in our life. We can gather together and we can praise God because of who He is, because what He has done already is still worthy of praise. So on this Christian Education Rally Day Sunday, we recognize that people across generations have always worked together to pass that faith on to the next generation. And this verse, particularly in Psalm 145, reminds us that the source of that proclamation is praise and thanksgiving to God. We don't just teach because we have to. We don't just get up here because I have to. Our Sunday school teachers don't just do it because nobody else will. And only they might think that sometimes. It's much more than that, isn't it? It's because we get to. It's a way for us to express our thanks to God for all that He's done for us, for all that He continues to do for us. Because we praise God, we want to proclaim it to other people. In Colossians 1:28, Paul writes, "Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ." Did you hear it? We proclaim. We may present everyone. Proclamation is a team effort. It's a church-wide effort that we do together. Not just one person or a few. For the Old Testament people, the proclamation probably would have been God's creation, creating the universe from nothing, and God's delivery of the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, right? The 400-year slavery they had, and God brought them out with a mighty hand against the superpower of their time, Pharaoh, who was wicked and rebellious and thought that he was in control, that nobody could defeat his army. Well, the Lord came down with a mighty hand, delivered his people out of slavery. And that had been passed down from generation to generation in a thing called the Passover. And today, we celebrate something more. We celebrate God's work in His Son, Jesus Christ. We celebrate His deliverance of our slavery to sin, to death, to the devil. Those things where we were helpless, like slaves in Egypt. Those things where it didn't seem like it could be overcome. God came down and brought us out. See, so this isn't just something that we talk about so that we can get offering money or some kind of social club. No, this is the very words of God passed down that have gone on for thousands of years. And now we get to be the recipients, the next people to bear the torch to the next generation. You know, sometimes people in their wills, they write about what they want to pass on to somebody else, right? Because they want to ensure that it doesn't go wasted. Much more of a point then do we, before we die and go to be with the Lord, want to make sure the next generation knows the most valuable possession that they could ever have. Relationship with the living God. We've gotten Bibles, we have Bibles, they're the most best-selling book out there still. But by and large, passing on the faith has come orally. It's something that in the Old Testament, even before they had the stories written down, they passed them on through word of mouth. And in the New Testament too. And that's mainly how we do pass it on today. As we talk to one another. And things like Bible study. Things like confirmation. Sunday school. Where we talk to each other and explain the words so that we don't just come up with some crazy idea of Jesus being this, you know, guy who helps us live a better life and tells us some good things. It's our very Lord and Savior. We open up the scriptures to one another so that we can be renewed and refreshed to pass on to someone else. So we can't just dismiss it off as old and boring. We can't assume that everybody knows about God because, you know, the Bible's the bestseller and there's so many church buildings around. Let me just give you an example. George Gallup and Jim Castelli did a survey on Americans and faith. And they wrote, Americans revere the Bible, but by and large, they don't read it. Because they don't read it, they have become a nation of biblical illiterates. Don't believe me? Okay. One recent survey of graduating high school seniors, 50% thought Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife. I hope you got that. Right? That was a place, a city where God overthrew for his wickedness, right? Another poll, a third of respondents thought the Sermon on the Mount was preached by Billy Graham. You know who it was preached by? Can you tell me? Oh, man. Yes, Jesus, yes. Oh, sure, right, was it Jesus? In another survey, 60% of respondents could not identify more than 3 of the 10 commandments. 3! Could you remember them all? You had to do it for memory? More than ever, we need to hear the stories of God, don't we? Not just in our church, but in the world. We can't just think that, oh, we heard it 20 years ago or 50 years ago or whatever, so now we're good. No. We do this thing called forgetting. And we need to be reminded of those things. We need to be reminded how this is the greatest thing that we could ever know or pass on to somebody else. Because you know what? As much as we celebrate the sports victories, eventually people will forget about them. And even though the Twins won the World Series and the Vikings might win the Super Bowl, when I'm on my deathbed, that's not going to help me. It's not going to help me. When I'm fighting the devil, it's not going to help me. When I'm trying to resist sin, it's not going to help me. Only relationship with Jesus can give me the help I need and the victory. Maybe you remember the game tag. One person would be it, and then you'd have to tag the next person and say, you're it, right? That's what we're doing as the church. Those older receive the faith. Now pass it down to the next generation. Say, tag, you're it. Now you take up the torch. Now you be the ones to proclaim God's word to the next generation. The little boy was pointing out weeds with his dad, and he saw his dad pull out some weeds, and so he thought he was going to go do it, and he grabbed a huge clump of weeds, It was really stuck in the ground, and he pulled until it came out. His dad said, "Wow, you must be really strong to pull out all those weeds." And he said, "Yeah, I had the whole world attached at the bottom, and I pulled them out. Got them out. I won." Sometimes it seems that way in the church, doesn't it? It seems that the whole world is against us, and that it's impossible to move forward. The challenge is just too big to overcome. That's why I never go to an away game, because I always feel that I'm going to be ridiculed and beat up or something if they lose the game. I don't know. I've never seen the Vikings play away or the Twins play away. I've heard sometimes they're friendly to visitors. It doesn't always work that way. Sometimes you feel alone as a Christian, don't you? Maybe when you come to worship and you don't see as many people, or maybe in your life, maybe people that you know wander away from the faith. Maybe things happen that you don't think they would have done since they're Christians. And it's easy to feel alone. It's easy to feel that you can't overcome the challenge ahead of you. But we're trusting in Jesus. And remember that we join millions and millions across the world and across generations, praising and proclaiming the mighty works of God. This is who we are. The one whose mighty works we declare and praise. This one has won the victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds firmly in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.